Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the last of this academic year's NAESP Monthly Webinar Wednesday series. I'm Katie Early, the Manager of Professional Learning Projects here at NAESP, and I will be monitoring the questions and providing technical support for our webinar today. Just a reminder that the NAESP Pre-K through 8 Principals Conference is less than 6 weeks away. Have you registered? We will be in beautiful Spokane, Washington, and have an outstanding lineup of keynote, concurrent, and breakout speakers. There will also be creative learning formats provided in the exchange by our Center for Innovative Leadership Fellows, Andy Jacks and Hamish Brewer, as well as an innovation rotation session where you can rotate to 3 different speakers using a digital device, all in one session. Registration is available on our website, www.naesp.org. Come and join other national leaders who understand your world and expand your leadership and knowledge and networking. Thank you for joining us for the webinar today. We think you will find this well worth your time as you grow in your professional learning. Today we have Dr. Rick Jetter presenting Escaping the School Leader's Dunk Tank, How to Prevail When Others Want to See You Drown. And just a small note from Dr. Jetter, he is presenting from his school today. So if you hear an announcement over the PA system, he will just pause to let that announcement conclude before he begins his session. And now I will hand it over to Dr. Jetter.
Thank you so much. It's just an honor to be a part of this. And hopefully they don't call me to run out to a bus and break up a fight or anything crazy like that, as school leaders know how many demands there are within a typical day. So I'm just really honored to be here. Rebecca had an emergency at her school, so she was not able to join us today, and I'm speaking on behalf of both of us. And I am just absolutely honored. Rebecca and I, as you can see, started off our presentation with a caricature of drowning, right? Because the adversity that you might face in your career, it can range from maybe not a whole lot to possibly crippling. And we really have done a lot across the nation to try to help people bring this discourse into their school districts and schools so that they can at least have a discussion and build from there with their staff. So without further ado, I'm going to start rolling into this. And I hope you enjoy some of the content. And I'm going to leave a little time near the end to maybe grab some of your questions or comments that you might have in that side question and answer queue that I'll be seeing pop up if there's anything that you would love to type in as we progress. So again, my honor to be here, and I just value leaders so much, as I used to be a school leader as well. Well, and teacher leaders also. So thank you very much again. So our work is actually aligned with various organizations, and you can obviously some of the organizations that you might be familiar with, but we are also aligned with the Workplace Bullying Institute, because adult adversity certainly is a form of bullying in some circumstances. You will notice also NPBEA, and Education First, because if you visited leadershipdunktank.com, you will actually see the vision and mission statements and objectives for their organization and how our work would actually fit into that. So it's not really a slide meant to prove ourselves that the work that we are doing is important, but it's really there to show you that this didn't come out of thin air when we conceived this book and the presentations that we've done across the nation. Here are a couple places that we've been, and it is growing in popularity, and we are so very humbled at our work that people decided that it was an important topic enough to bring to their organizations. So again, I didn't want to bore you with every place that we've been, but we put up some key ones that we've spoken at. And the topic of adversity is, it's a hot topic, you know, it really is. And I'm just honored to share some of the tenets that we've been teaching others. And we hope you can have some amazing takeaways with that. So thank you. I have to be, you know, extremely transparent and open about the presentation. Some people cannot stand this topic and they absolutely hate it. And sometimes those people are people who haven't experienced much adversity in their career. Other people just don't really believe that adversity can have grave effects on people's careers. So I just really admire the fact that NAESP wanted us to speak about this, because if we ignore the courageous conversations, we're just doing a disservice to kids. And we all know that NAESP is devoted to children and healthy leaders who feel good about the amazing things that they do every day. So there's the pill bottle, right? Chapter 6 of our book actually talks about the role of drugs and alcohol. And we interviewed hundreds and hundreds of school leaders across the nation. And they shared with us real and raw stories that talked about some of the things that they were really, really proud of that they started to get into because of the stressors that took place within their career. And we can talk more about that later, but we just feel that these are powerful images to make you feel good, right? Because now it's not what's in that pill bottle. It's what techniques and discourse you can bring back to your schools. We always say there's an elephant in the room, and we either let the elephant hang out or we address it and we try to do something with it. And adversity is certainly that elephant in the room that we felt so compelled to talk about. And here you have an elephant on his back, and I guess that one speaks for itself, so I won't dwell on that one. The other thing is, you know, adversity can be an external force that happens within your career, and we will call out what those types of adversities are. And this one is the slide that can be very controversial. And I want to explain this one a little bit clearer so you don't think that I'm blaming anyone who's part of this webinar or anyone that we present to, but we often ask this question to our audience, and it's a very low-stress question. It's, have we ever done anything within our careers that we inadvertently may have said or engaged in that set up an adverse situation? And Rebecca and I, we can speak for only ourselves, and we tell stories about the adversity that we've interviewed others about and our own within our careers. And there have been times that I reflect on my career and I think, you know what? If I just thought before I put my foot in my mouth, or if I just maybe rephrased something differently, or if I had a discussion about accountability with a staff member that I needed to have, you know, one of those tough conversations, how could I have approached that a little bit differently? So this slide is meant to be blameless with all of our school leaders and the amazing people who are part of your organization. But it's a great reflective prompt to even, we've used these at faculty meetings and full day trainings. And it just shows that, you know what, if we can be vulnerable with the stories that we share with others and the things that we reflect on, it's only going to make our organization stronger and our leadership and our schools stronger. So again, we don't want you to be put off by that, but it's just a great reflective slide, and we really respect you. This is the one that sometimes people don't really think about that next level, but we believe that adult leadership and the adversity that might cripple an organization actually will take away from student achievement. And it's not rocket science, right? It's when you are looking over your shoulders, trying to do the best that you can do, and your naysayers may be surrounding you, it takes you away from the amazing work that you can do with kids to raise achievement. So what it does is it becomes a barrier and a cloud that's right over your desk during a particular day that takes you away from the important things that you really want to work on. And please throw any comments or questions into the queue that you'd like to comment on. Like, hey, Rick, that slide really stunk. It upset me. Or, you know what, that's kind of interesting, and I'd like to talk more about that. The National School Boards Association had me present as a guest speaker in San Antonio last year, and also published an article that they were fans of. And if you remember years ago, this kind of adults behaving badly theme, they thought that was something that they wanted their school board members to be a part of and learn more about. And what better forum than to, if we hierarchically think about the levels of a school district, what a great opportunity for an audience who governs the superintendent, right? They are the superintendent's boss, and the superintendent is your direct supervisor. So the more levels that we can hit within our hierarchical system and get people to be aware of adversity and the things that we're going to go over today, the better that our entire system will be collectively. So we certainly invite you to visit the NSBA website and that article. We hope you love it. And again, we are just honored to be in alignment with these various associations. All right, so here we go. What I would like to review today are the emotional driving forces that actually lead into adverse situations and actual tactics that people may use against leaders within their organization. The other part that I couldn't get to in terms of having a longer webinar would be all of those strategies that Rebecca and I share to be leaders who prevail under any dunking situation or under any adverse situation. Again, we thought that to show you the emotional driving forces and the adversarial tactics would at least get that discourse started at your school or district level. And then from there, you can, I can send you a book or send you information, or you can invite us to work with you. From there, we can do more of the prevailing piece. We just wouldn't have the time for all of that today. So we thought we would go right to the heart of the emotional driving forces and those tactics. And I mentioned this earlier, the more time that you have to devote to saving your necks, the less time you have to do some amazing things for kids. So this first video, I want to show you two videos today. They're very short. This is something that we use at our training sessions, and I don't know if you know anything about Jamie Kennedy, but he is kind of that candid camera kind of guy from the 90s. And this video actually went viral because it's been used in training sessions for leadership, and it is a great video to share with your staff to open up the discussion about adversity. So I'm going to click on this right now. It's going to send us to YouTube. And we're going to try our best to make sure that the sound quality is proper. You may have to adjust things on your end as well, but I hope you enjoy this 3-minute video. Can't download the information you requested. Let me try it one more time. Oh, that's too bad. We tested this out ahead of time when we were practicing this. We did a run-through with NAESP to make sure that it worked. And for some reason it isn't, but I just want to give you the crux of this now, since technology is hitting me in the foot right now. This is where Jamie Kennedy is a valet working at a restaurant, and he takes this woman's car, rolls down the window, puts plastic all around the window, and sprinkles glass on the seat of her car. So when she comes out of the restaurant, she sees her car coming that Jamie's driving, and she goes, "Oh my God, what did you do to my car?" And he says, "Well, I locked the keys in your car, so I had to get them out." And it was it's a hilarious video. If you just look it up on your own on YouTube, you will find a hilarious video about Jamie the valet. And then in the end, they certainly tell her that it was all a joke. And that, again, is something that will open up a ton of laughter with your staff and be a good way as an anticipatory set to get you into discussions about how to work together in a better way and weed out adversity in your organization. So I'm very sorry that didn't work for you. We tested it out a few days ago, and it's kind of doing some hiccups right now. So this might be something that you throw into the side queue if it's something that you would like to answer. I want to leave you with a thought of, how do you deal with adversity? Like, how do you personally, as a school leader, deal with something that goes down during the day? It could be from an adverse staff member, a parent. It can be from a supervisor. It could be from a colleague. How do you deal with things when they are making you either feel bad, look bad, or try to make you incompetent? Again, feel free to throw some ideas in the side queue. We have collected thousands of responses, and we have some of that information on our website, leadershipdunktank.com. Sylvia Anderson is a story, a very brief story that I want to share with you. Sylvia was put into a situation where she was asked to do something unethical within her school district. And she decided that she would put her job on the line to do what was right for children. And this story hit our hearts because when Sylvia shared this with us, she talked about the passion of making sure that her students with disabilities had every service and were afforded every opportunity to be successful. And she stood up and did the right thing, even though she was being placed in an adverse situation. And another cue question might be, how do you make sure that you're always doing the right thing when it is so difficult to sometimes do the right thing? Not that I'm saying that you wouldn't, but sometimes we are forced with adverse situations and sometimes with supervisors who ask us to do things that really, it just hits you in the gut. Like, it makes you sick. Like, this isn't right. I don't want to do this, but I may be in trouble if I don't. How do you wrestle with that and try to work through that adverse situation? So that's something I'd like to leave you with. And feel free to throw that in the queue as well. You'll see this wolf in sheep's clothing, and there is this proactive paranoia that is very similar to a teacher's withitness, and it's making sure that you're not watching over your back with adversity, but you're keeping a very close eye on all of the things, the little things that could possibly snowball and possibly become a larger adverse situation. So we call that concept proactive paranoia, and here are some of the things to be proactively paranoid about. And I don't mean it from a clinical sense where you're driving yourself nuts because you're looking around and trying to figure everything out. But here are some things that we would love for you to consider. Here they are, the emotional driving forces, and these are not going to look unfamiliar to you whatsoever, okay? Jealousy. Jealousy can drive adversity within your organization. Revenge. Someone doesn't like you. They don't want to see you succeed, so they do something to make you look bad. And we're going to go through these right now, one by one, and give you some quick examples that you can also share with your staff or your leadership team so that you can flesh these out and brainstorm together. When we work on this within a full day workshop, we actually go through major brainstorming sessions that get people to open up and tell their stories or write and reflect about what it is that really drives them or makes others drive them to adverse situations. And here are some examples. You've heard these before. I should be the one. You know what? I've been an AP for a number of years. I should be the principal, not this person who got hired. I grew up in this. I grew up in this community. I know more about this community than this new hire who is now my principal. I've been in this district longer than you. I deserve that promotion. You didn't do half of what I did last year. That jealousy can be a driving force for then adverse situations to take place. well, you fired my brother. He was a teacher in the district, and now I'm just not going to like you because family sticks together. You know what? You're never going to get away with doing that. I don't believe that your budget is the way that it should be, and I'm going to blow the whistle to make sure someone does an audit on you. These are things that these revengeful, emotional driving forces lead to very specific tactics that can cripple an organization. Oh yeah, you came from that district? Oh yeah, we heard about you from that district. You know what? Oh, and we heard about how you didn't do too well from that district. Oh, or you know what? Yeah, it's because you know that board member. Or you're friends with the superintendent. That's why you got your job, right? So these connectivity and association, these relationships, we often get blamed for unfairly, or it's twisted, and we are then set up for an adverse situation. Oh, what? You only have your master's? Wait, you were only an interim principal? That's not enough. So again, these are examples of people being skeptics. They're skeptics of your work, and they don't believe that you are a valid leader. So they use that as their emotional driving force. And then as a result, they come after you in a myriad of ways, which we'll get to in a few minutes. Rebecca and I were amazed that when we interviewed school leaders across the nation, that this still runs rampant. Right, in this day and age, we work very hard to value our diverse United States. We are so honored to have a diverse country. Yet this stuff happens all the time. And these are actual statements from some of our interviews of school leaders who have been faced with adverse situation, who've had these things said to them. Discrimination, racism, and nepotism is still as rampant as we've ever seen it before. And there's Skippy, right? And he's the new boss. So, I mean, again, a couple of funny things that can open up a dialogue in a very non-threatening way, and you are more than welcome to use these at your leisure. 90%, I'm going to say this again, 90% of the people we survey say that when we hold others accountable, when school leaders have to hold others accountable, you have a very difficult job. You are amazing at holding people accountable. But you know what? And you know this is nothing new. The moment you hold someone accountable, they can either accept it, or they won't accept it, and it leads to adverse situations unfairly because you're doing your jobs. You are trying to make your schools better places for kids. And this has been the hot topic that when we present this is the one we actually stay on for. I think one district we presented in one organization, we were on this for 1 hour because everybody wanted to talk about this. Well, how do we hold others accountable without having it come back to us that we are being unfair to other people? So again, that's another question that you may want to throw in the queue. How do you do this? How do you hold others accountable without it turning into an adverse situation? Oh, these are the people who walk around. You are people who may have seen this. School leaders see this everywhere. They believe they're allowed to do anything they want, and that is actually an emotional driving force that leads to incredible, incredible adversity. And then this one can just be part of a person's demeanor and makeup, and their personality drives that they are in charge, not you. It's you're going to do what they say because they believe they know what's right. And that ego and power can tear relationships in half very quickly. We've had people that we've interviewed across the nation who say that this is the one that can be the most destructive and this is the one that has led to many contracts not being renewed. In New York State, where I come from, they have tenure laws, which means that after 3 years, administrators, teachers have to go through an amazing due process schedule of a burden of proof that they should be removed from the classroom or from their position. They're afforded those due process rights that other states don't necessarily get. So this is something that can tear people apart very quickly, and we've recognized that in the interviews that we've had with many school leaders. We found that these emotional driving forces often lead back to fear. Fear of a supervisor feeling like that you might be doing better than them, and fear of losing their job. Fear that they're not going to be seen as professional as they should be, and they then start to feel a certain way or do something that creates adversity. We found that fear has been an amazing, it like ties up so many of these emotional driving forces, and the fact that we put this out there gets people talking at least, right? So a question for you might be, what have you heard about people being fearful about that leads them to a state of protecting themselves in an adverse environment so that they don't look like the ones who are being terrible leaders, right? Fear can really cripple an organization. And we just love this quote. Abe Lincoln, you know, this is just something that you could share as a meme. You could even put this up on a big screen and talk about it with your staff. It's a good way, again, to kind of, you know, dip your foot in that bathwater that's super hot without jumping in right away full barrel. And I won't say much about this. We often don't see the true people behind the people behind these adverse situations. I'm going to try this video. If it doesn't work, I'll explain the episode very quickly for you, but let's give it a shot. Sorry for
Dr. Jetter, I have it up, so if you give me one moment, I can share my screen and I'll play it from my end, okay?
Oh, terrific. Thank you so much. Not sure why it's working. Not working now.
No problem. In just one moment.
I think it might just be one of those things where people are a little intimidated.
Intimidated? They hate me.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. They sure do. I can see. I wasn't always like this, you know. I wasn't always wound this tight. There was a time when I was fun. I was funny. I was. But you can't be funny and be the principal of a prep school. No, you cannot. Because when it comes to their kids, these parents, they have no sense of humor. No, and if anything goes wrong, it's my head. All right, it's my head in the smasher. These parents will come down on me like a nuclear bomb. I can't make a mistake. I gotta be perfect. And that pressure has turned me into one thing that I never wanted to be.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. I am a big one.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I just want to make a comment about that video and how we use it within our training, because it's a great video, again, for you to break ice with. It goes into that deep self-reflection. Have we ever sometimes felt like we aren't the person that we really are? And that's a tough thing to reflect on. That's a tough thing for people to really reflect on. But again, it does it in a non-threatening way. It's a funny video, not funny in terms of we're laughing at that principal, but just a great scene from School of Rock. And she was self-reflecting on the person that she never wanted to become. And that's something, again, that can ease you into that hot bath water. So feel free to use that. We usually share about 15 to 20 videos, and maybe I can somehow get a few of those out to you. To, you know, have an e-blast come to your inbox where you can see some of the things that we actually do use within our trainings. So I want to take just maybe 10 more minutes before we get to some questions and look at some chat things that you commented on. But now these are the actual tactics, and they are not going to look unfamiliar to you. Did I lose? Yeah, I think I turned my screen over to you then, right? The rumor mill was something that school leaders shared with us that goes on behind their backs, and it is meant to strip down your reputation. And if you just reflect on this for a moment, you may not have had any rumors created about you. The school leaders that we interviewed had ranges of adversity in their life, and they all still came back to the fact that there were at least one or more rumors that were being created about them. And they ranged in severity as well, right? We had one school principal at the high school level in Virginia who said they were trying to make her out to be an alcoholic when she doesn't even drink. So these rumors can range in devastation, and that is one of the adversarial tactics that we found is very common across the United States. That's kind of a neat meme to just put up at a faculty meeting or send out as well. Again, it eases you into those difficult discussions in a more lighter way, right? So you can build up and have that rapport with your staffs that you're not, it's not like, hey, everybody, we're having a faculty meeting. We're talking about adversity, right? It's easing you into those discussions. We also had many school leaders who said that they will get things sent to them, whether it be a project that they have to now complete that their supervisor has them do, and it takes them away from their work. And what it does is it's purposely slowing down the organization to have you diverted your attention into other things that are less productive. So that was an adversarial tactic as well. And this one came from a supervisor role down to those who were held responsible by that supervisor. So we had a lot of assistant superintendent stories. We had a lot of director stories where those people were coming down on principals or assistant principals and diverting the things that would take them away from better work within their organization. And again, it's just something fun that you could put up to open up the discussion. And that reflective change is really what Rebecca and I focus on, and that really is the crux of the message we want to send out. We don't want this to be a negative message. We want to do it in a lighter way so that people can really embrace it more than just putting these things up on a screen and talking about them like I am. But again, I was just invited to share a little content with you to maybe pique your interest. And that's something that you can certainly carry out on your own if you're interested, and we'll have our contact information at the end also for you. Information will be bent. Well, didn't you say at your faculty meeting that I never said that. Well, but the other day when we were having a meeting, didn't you say that? No, I never said that. So the power of information can be easily bent, and it.
TMI, when you are finished with your task, we are to remuster in the assembly hall. When you are finished, please remuster in the assembly hall.
Thank you so much. Again, the power of information, if it's skewed, it shoots us in the foot, and that is an actual intentional adverse tool that people use, and it's been shared with us. Purposely, things will be sent out to the community to make you look bad. This has been a very troubling story that Rebecca and I had to interview because it can really bring the community into issues and put your livelihood and your amazing career and your good job on the line by bringing others into it and setting up an army that may or may not really want to come after you. But they will, and getting that community support, the adversaries who get that community support can make life incredibly miserable. So that's where that community paranoia would take place. And we have a few more. This one is also linked to slowing down the organization. I want you to work on this project. Oh, well, can I consult with this person in my department? Or nope, I want you to work on it alone. The moment we are setting up silos across our districts is when we can miss important pieces of information, research, or project insights and perceptions that can make us do a better job. So silos are an adversarial tactic, and they can actually put you in a small room with a project that you are exclusively only allowed to work on purposely to either set you up for failure or not have you get the big picture of what's happening. And it's so unfair. It's so unfair. And there's the moat. And they even have a little alligator there blocking off people from the collaboration that is so vital in the world of education. We can often see adversity through the eyes of omitting information, purposely not giving information, not the wrong or the incorrect information, but purposely omitting things that you need to know to do a better job or mislead you on purpose. So intentional omission, again, is another adversarial tactic. And our book gives a ton of examples about how this goes down. And also within our training, we show specific cases of intentional omission. Sometimes the lack of that information is just deadly. And that's something that we've had staff members use to reflect on with their leadership team. And this can bring people together, actually, this meme. So a few more left, folks. Working from the inside. So we have learned through our interviews, and again, this isn't just the only reason this may happen, but we've learned about people who want to be promoted within their school system or their district. And we find that there is this working from the inside to make themselves look better than their supervisor so that they can secure that next step on this hierarchy within our system. Sometimes we've had people share with us that they believe the hierarchy of a school system is very mythical because people might be very happy as an assistant principal within their district and stay there for a number of years, that they don't want to become a principal. Principals may want to stay within their positions and not move to central office. So again, we find these not necessarily backstabbings, but proving that they are more competent than their supervisor so that they can move up into a promotion. Oh, you have to come in late that day? Don't worry about it. That's fine. Well, you know what? I have to talk to you because you were late the other day, right? It's treating people differently. It's extending and bending professional courtesy. And you know this. Your staff knows when someone is not doing something that they should and when it goes unaddressed, they talk about that too. Again, it's when we favor others, that is used as an intentional adversarial condition to set up animosity among staff. And we found people, that we interviewed sharing that with us and saying it can really be a huge problem if things aren't addressed. And it goes back to that accountability issue that we talked about earlier, right? How do you hold people accountable without the adversity, devil tapping you on the shoulder and making your life miserable? And we learned that nepotism was not only an emotional driving force, it was actually purposely used as a tactic to go after other people. So they will hire friends, they will hire family members, and often that might not look as in your face as you realize. It might not be a direct relationship. It might be a second cousin. It might be the friend of a family member, of a brother or sister. So sometimes that last name is not the same, and it makes it even more difficult to figure out if there truly is nepotism going on within an organization. So it's not only a driving force for adversity, but it is an actual tactic, and people shared with us, school leaders shared with us, that they believe that fit into both categories. Oh yeah, Dad put a stop to it. Dad put a stop to it. You'd be surprised the amount of people who talk about nepotism within their communities, within their school systems. We actually had a very high rural school district rate of nepotism. And we're still analyzing that in our future research about why that is. It could be because of the lack of candidates for positions, but we're not quite sure about that, and we're continuing our research with that. Blaming someone else. No, that project didn't get completed because it was that person's fault. No, I gave that task to somebody else. It was their fault that it's not finished. So deflection is pushing that stuff away from the responsibilities of the adversary and shifting it to someone else. And that has been very destructive as well through the interviews that we've conducted. We can go past this one. This was just a summary slide for you to give you those top 10. And my question to you, and this is one of the final questions before we get to see some of the great things that you wrote in, how do I navigate adult misbehavior? How do I navigate adult misbehavior? It doesn't say solve the world of adult misbehavior, even though I'd love to eradicate all adversaries, and or not adversaries, but adversarial conditions. But we live in a world where adversity will exist. How do you navigate that? What tools do you use to try to not have it become an explosion, right? Or a community uprising, or something in your school that just blows up into astronomical proportion. Just for the final moment, I want to mention that the second half of our book goes into how you can actually prevail in your leadership career from adversity. And it goes into actually just hundreds of pages about all the things that you can do and share with your school who will help them to forgive one another, help them to feel gratefulness in their career and their gratitudes that they have. I'm going to share with you in a few more slides a resource that you can download for free. And it can be an actual study guide that we put together for free for everyone that has been a lifesaver for a lot of people. And they've given us amazing feedback, and we're just so humbled that they grabbed that free download to kind of reflect on, okay, well, how do we, if we know the emotional driving forces in adversarial situations and conditions, what do I do with that? How do I move forward, and what are the next steps? These are just some of the things that we put together for this brief presentation. And you'll find a lot more in that free download that I'll share with you momentarily. The biggest takeaway, I would be honored if you could take away one major thing today, and that is to create a reflective series of prompts and to bring this discourse back to your school and school district. Share it with your superintendent and your school board, possibly, because we need everybody involved in order to reduce adversity. But this would be some of the reflective questions that you can engage in. And we have also a series of discourse analysis prompts that you can bring back to open up the discussion for your staff and your school district. This is how we feel when leaders face adversity, that you will be able to get through anything. And when those days feel really rough, oh my gosh, we've had rough days ourselves. You are seeds. You will continue to grow. You will continue to flourish. And you are more than welcome to use this meme. This is something Rebecca and I hold very close to our hearts. And it's something that people have shared across social media very frequently when we've mentioned it. And I hope you always remember that the work you do is impeccable. And I'm honored to be able to share some things today with you. And I know you're faceless right now, and I'm a stranger to you, but I'm just extremely honored that we could share this. This is what we believe about school leaders, that you are strong, you're friendly, strong, and smart is what we always say. And just a couple of housekeeping things. This was the download that I was talking about earlier. It's called not Escaping the School Leaders Dunk Tank. It's called Entering the School Leaders Think Tank. And if you head on over to leadershipdunktank.com, you'll find the free PDF download. We don't bother you with crazy marketing emails and all that jazz. We know our boundaries. We don't want to flood you with stuff, but go in there, sign up, download, bam, and you can use it. It's got a ton of resources in there for you. Just recently, actually 2 days ago, we have book study questions that are found on Dave Burgess Consulting's website, which is our publisher for the Dunk Tank. So if you click on that link or just go to his website and look under the book study activities, you'll find the Dunk Tank, and you just click on that. And there are about 40 study cards in case you and your leadership team wanted to work together to actually do a book study. And we put different questions in there than the reflection guide that you saw on the slide before. So again, just another resource for you. And finally, you know, if you need anything from us, Rebecca and I answer emails every day. We will take a phone call from a complete stranger who is a school leader across the nation or in a supervisory position. And we've actually been sought, even though we are not lawyers, I am a doctor, but I'm not a juris doctor. People seek advice from us, and they have different scenarios that they want to bounce off of us. We would be more than honored to do anything that you need for us to help you. And again, if you haven't faced much adversity within your career, that's terrific. But it also prepares you for someday when you may have a firestorm on your hands. And finally, I just want to let you know that this is our company and who we represent. Rebecca and I are co-founders of Pushing Boundaries. We made a decision last year that the only things we want to work on are the things that no one else wants to work on. And the Dunk Tank is one of those things that some people just don't want to touch with a 10-foot pole. So feel free to look us up. We have some free resources on that website as well. And we live by that icon. We want to shift walls and try to pound on that status quo the best that we can. And I always end with the Fonz. I grew up with the Fonz. I'm 44 years old, so I grew up with the Fonz. And I just wanted to give you a thumbs up. Thank you very much for this opportunity. I know it was me doing all of the talking right now. I hope we can check out the queue really quickly, for the next 10 minutes I see on my watch. But, here's our contact information, and we admire and honor the work that you do on a daily basis. We love NAESP, and we just love school leaders, and thank you for everything that you do.
Okay, thank you so much to Dr. Jetter for your presentation today. And I'd like to remind all of you that if you have any questions or comments, you can submit those using the Q&A portion of your toolbar. Dr. Jetter, we did have some chats come in throughout, so I'm not sure if you had those up. I can show you how to navigate if you head up to your toolbar on your screen. And if you hover over the option that says more, there's a drop-down menu, and then you'll see chat. That will bring up the chat log. We did have some people submitting there.
I see it. Yeah, this looks. I see a ton of stuff here. This is amazing. The comments, the responses. This is wonderful. You want me to just do a couple of quick things that I'm seeing? That would you like me just to read a couple out?
Why don't you go ahead and do that, and then, again, attendees, if you have any questions, why don't you submit those using the Q&A portion, and I'll keep an eye on those and let us know if any of those come in.
I see one comment. It talks about one of your school leaders who have been in an ego and power environment, and sometimes you bail. Sometimes it's okay to leave an organization when what you believe does not match what your supervisors believe. And, you know, the treatment of you is so vital. And if you're not being treated well, Rebecca and I actually do come out within our book, and we talk about the idea of retreating and what that looks like. and creating backup plans based on your talents. So that jumped out at me just right off the bat.
Okay, we did have one question come in. It says, what are your thoughts on the 5 essential survey associated with the school report card? I've been at a school for 3 years and recently received a negative survey from staff, specifically in the area of principal-teacher trust. The survey results did not resonate with me, but I feel I need to address it. How do you recommend I move forward?
I can only speak about what I would do. And Rebecca and I usually do that with the advice that we give, is we only talk about how we would go about that, because it may not be the answer for you. I would take this very seriously. I would be very vulnerable with my staff. I would talk about some things that didn't come in so favorable. And I would ask the staff to give me feedback on how to make that better. Now, you know what can happen with that, right? It could backfire. It could be an additional setup. But if you are always being vulnerable and wanting to work through things to be better, I never shy away from that opportunity. And it's scary. It is very scary. And you know what? It's extremely difficult, because being vulnerable is something that we've heard from school leaders that is the most difficult thing in their career, because they are perceived to be a leader for a reason, that they should be strong, right? That they should be in charge, that they should know what they're doing. And all those things are good, but the reality is that we are not Mr. or Mrs. Know-it-alls. And there are things that we can learn from, and being vulnerable and saying like, hey, let's brainstorm on this. You know, I'd love for this. We could flesh through this. What can we do? And let's work through this together. It's hard, and it may not be your style, and it may not match your personality, but that is what I would do personally. I would take it head on and be extremely sincere about the end product that I want us all to reach together.
Okay, looks like we have one more question that came in. It says, I've navigated several issues where my teachers have gone directly to the union without talking to me first. Easy things that could have been worked out. Fortunately, I think they're starting to trust me at the end of my second year here. What do principals do, however, with issues that arise between staff members? I have several teachers who refuse to trust one another and engage in backbiting behavior, and I have already tried mediating discussions, but these issues persist.
Again, I'll speak from what I would do, and it may not match the personality or the comfort level of the person who wrote this question, but I would meet with the union rep and the teacher and thank them for going to someone. I would start off by saying, you know what? I really respect that you went to someone about this, and I want to be able to show you that I can be one of those people that you can come to. And let's work together on what this issue is. And in the future, if that is your trusted person that you feel comfortable going to, that's okay. But I want you to know that I'm here for you as well, and I want to be a trusted person also. So let's the three of us work on this together, and what can we do to have a great outcome? So what I would do is I would validate the fact that they'd opened up to someone. And instead of looking at it as going maybe above you or just to the union, which then might become a huge union issue, I would validate the fact that they didn't keep it inside. They didn't bottle it up. They want resolution. And I would actually say that I admire you went to someone. And I want to be part of that someone that you can go to in the future.
Thank you for that excellent advice. I don't see any more. Okay, sorry, there's a follow-up. It says, I think the first half of my question muddied the water. Great response for that. But what do we do when teachers are infighting?
It would have to depend on how grave the infighting is, okay? Obviously, your job is you have to hold that situation accountable, And based on the level of severity, you'd have to gauge who you would want to invite together. Is it just the two teachers for you to hold a mediation session? Is it the two teachers and a union representative? Is it you talking to the union representative and working together on what that union rep and you think might be the best process for bringing people together to resolve it? But you and I both know it needs to be resolved somehow. And I would seek out the advice of what that forum might look like before going ahead and deciding in a bottle what you think that forum should look like, because it might not match with others' perceptions about how to resolve that issue. And it'll be due to severity of the issue. You may need to get your superintendent involved. You may want to have your AP with you. You may want to have a trusted teacher that each of them would want to have sit with them who are non-union members. So again, I would do a little research about how the comfort level can be maintained before you move forward with figuring out how that would mediate itself out.
Thank you. I think that covers all the questions that we've received throughout the presentation. So NAESP would like to thank everyone who has participated today, as well as Dr. Jetter for his time. If you would like to revisit today's presentation, it will be accessible to you in both video and podcast formats on the NAESP website using your NAESP member login. The slides are also posted there as well. And as always, if NAESP can ever assist you in your journey, please do not hesitate to reach out to us. We hope everyone has a wonderful afternoon, and we hope to see you all in Spokane for the summer conference. Thank you again, Dr. Jetter.
Thank you so much. I wish you all a terrific summer, and thank you for your dedication to children and your staff members.